WEEM Weekly is a bi-weekly podcast here at 91.7 WEEM that provides information and fun conversations about and with the Madison County community. You can find previous and upcoming episodes at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found. Thank you for tuning in to 91.7 WEEM Podcast, WEEM Weekly.
Welcome back to another episode of WEEM Weekly. My name is Logan Romine, and today I'm joined with
Wesley Johnson.
Today we're going to have a Cowan chiropractic interview, some football player interviews, and I believe a class sponsor for student council interview. Wesley, how you feel about that?
Sounds like a fun episode. I'm going to be in the Cowan chiropractic interview. How about you?
I'll be in the football interview with the football players talking about homecoming today. Now coming up next is Caitlin with a Cowan chiropractic interview on WEEM Weekly.
Welcome to another segment of WEEM Weekly. For our first segment today, we are interviewing someone very special. I say this because he is my father. But first of all, I'm Caitlin Cowan, and today we are here with
Dr. Cowan.
Wesley Johnson.
Wesley is not my father. He is someone in our staff. Sorry. Okay. So we are going to be talking to you, Father, about your business, because you are an underwriter for WEEM. And Wesley, let's go ahead and start with the questions.
So, Dr. Cowan, how long have you been in the business of chiropractic?
Chiropractic? Chiropractic. No problem, buddy. Yeah. I have been in Pendleton as of last July 5th for 30 years. So I've been in chiropractic half my life, actually.
Yeah. Yes, he's got that age.
Yeah, well, I have a private practice here in Pendleton.
So you obviously have the business here. I know you do adjustments. What else do you do in chiropractic?
Well, in chiropractic itself, we work with ages from newborn to, I think the oldest one I've adjusted was 98 years old. So all through there, pregnancy and various sports injuries and sports things and overall health and so forth. But I also am a licensed acupuncturist as well as a licensed massage therapist. And I practice all three disciplines in my office.
You said you started your business in Pendleton 30 years ago. Did you do anything in chiropractic before that?
I associated with a gentleman in Alabama for just a few months, but I graduated from chiropractic college in 1993. Yeah, the last millennium.
I love how you have to point that out.
I know.
What do you think led you to pursue that career in chiropractic when you're younger?
Truth be told, I was actually a high school band director before I went into chiropractic, and I really felt like the Lord led me a different way, and went to chiropractic. I had to go back to school and work on prereqs. Then I went through chiropractic college and Life University, Marietta, Georgia. Like I said, graduated there in December of 93. And then by that following July in 1994, came to Pendleton, opened a practice, and been here ever since.
Yeah, you went to school for a long time. You were in college for a long time.
Well, yeah, I had to have a BS degree for music education. So that was 4 years, and then 1 year of prereqs, and then 3.5 years for chiropractic college. So
where did you go to school?
High school, went to school in Cullman, Alabama, and went to the University of North Alabama for undergraduate school. And then chiropractic college was Life University, like we said, in Marietta, Georgia. And then massage school was Healthy Lifestyle School of Massage, no longer open, but it was in Muncie, Indiana. And then acupuncture was continuing ed. I've got a diplomat in acupuncture, so it's 300 extra hours, weekend seminars, and so forth.
Good Lord.
Plus continuing education throughout the 30 years. So
wow.
Yeah.
So over the years, how have you expanded your business, and do you have any plans to continue expanding it?
As I get older, we're looking at maybe bringing in an associate or some help in that regard. Obviously, started out with just chiropractic adjustments, but as that evolved into other things, like I said before, pregnancy care, and then into massage therapy, and then into acupuncture. So at this particular point, pretty busy doing all three of those disciplines and helping people. So It's a busy practice for just solo practitioner.
Yeah, you do it all yourself, which is
assistant, but right. My niece, actually, her name is Kim, and she's a great help with filing insurance and working the front desk and scheduling and talking to people.
But you have been adjusting people and working with your patients just by yourself.
Correct.
You haven't had any other employees, like from the family, from outside the family, join your business.
Correct. Yeah.
Is there any reason you chose to keep the business mostly to yourself and not expand it beyond that?
Well, it's a small town. It is a small area, but it's grown tremendously in the last 30 years. So, I just kind of like the solo practice and keeping it simple. It just helps with a lot of issues with patients, because the patients usually want to come see me, and that's fine. But I think if we had an associate, they would want to come go see them. So it's just a different atmosphere in a practice like that. Not opposed to it, just this is what we've lived with. Been busy with raising kids.
Four kids.
We have four kids, yeah. Three sons. And then my daughter, who really likes WEEM.
I don't know why she does. I don't know.
Speaking of that, you've helped underwrite for WEM. Right. When did you start that, and why did you decide to do that?
Actually, we kind of supported throughout the years, but recently we became an underwriter. One, because one to help Caitlin with supporting this, the podcast and so forth. But I've been a big fan, actually, of WEM since I was about 10, 11 years old. Should I tell that story?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's not exciting, really, but it was to me at the time. It was about 1975, and the high schoolers, the juniors and seniors at that time, class of 75 and 76, the guys from those two classes decided to get together and have a marathon basketball game. And they got sponsors to sponsor them, and they were raising money to donate a new ambulance, if I recall, and to the fire service here in town. I don't think they had their own ambulance before that. I may be wrong on that one. But and so my sister, since I couldn't drive, we were sitting at home listening to them play basketball on the radio, and we drove up to what's now Pendleton Elementary. It's actually their cafeteria. And they were playing in the cafeteria, and walked in, and there was people from WEEM
stands.
I
was like,
I just heard them on the radio. And as a kid, I was pretty cool, and I got to meet the people that were doing the radio station. So I've been a pretty big fan. I was always impressed that as high school had its own radio station, and I think it's great. I think it's great for the community to disseminate information if you need to find out what's going on in the high school. Or all schools here. So I think WEM's a wonderful thing, and I want to do what I can to help promote it and keep it going.
Yeah, I think it's awesome you support it, as like it kind of helps connect the community, as you said.
Correct, yeah.
And also, like, I think when you're talking about, like, you've always admired it since you were a kid, I think we all did, actually. I think that's why we all wanted to join radio, because we were so curious on how they all did this stuff. Like, I was amazed on how people were, like, live on air at night, but that wasn't the case. It was actually something called VT, and so they were pre-recording, and like, the more things you know once you actually get into radio, like, it's absolutely amazing. And that, especially since that high school kids are doing it themselves.
Right. When we moved in 1976 with my dad's job to Alabama, that was one of the regrets I had. I'm not kidding, that I would have wanted to try to be in radio if we would have stayed. Of course, high school I moved to, we didn't have a radio station. But I always thought it would have been cool to.
If I'm correct, your brother got interviewed a few times for being in sports.
Correct. On the radio at WEM.
Yes. Yeah.
Back 1974, 75, 76.
A long time ago.
A few years.
In chiropractic, What treatments do you do the most, and what do you have the most fun with personally?
Wow, have the most fun with? Yeah. That's an interesting question.
What is your most popular?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I looked at the statistic the other day. for whatever reason, about 80% of my practice is with females, about 20% males, in which I enjoy working with. I will enjoy working with females and males, of course. I do, like I said before, we deal with sports injuries. It's a lot of fun to work with little kids. That's, it can be a little hair-raising at time because they're everywhere and you got to catch them, you know. That sounds
reminds
worse.
You of your own little kids.
Yeah, oh yes, yes, yeah. But I use several different techniques in chiropractic care. I get a lot of pain related things, like low back pain, neck pain, mid back pain, shoulder pain, sciatica, knee pains, and so we do extremity adjusting and some cranial adjusting, and of course the full spine adjustment. But probably one of the neatest things that I experienced was at a lady that was having trouble getting pregnant, and we were able to adjust her as well as do acupuncture with her. And she ended up getting pregnant, and we saw her through her pregnancy, and she had a pretty natural birth. And then after the baby's born, she brought the baby in and I got to adjust the baby as well. So we went from like, you know,
a generation.
Yeah. So that was real rewarding and really, really cool. And of course the baby's just wonderful.
The baby's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, seeing that result of people getting help, is that what makes it rewarding to you? Just seeing people get
absolutely help? Absolutely. As you may or may not know, then chiropractic and, acupuncture as well as massage therapy, we don't use any medications. Now, we do recommend sometimes some herbal supplements or vitamins and so forth.
Natural stuff.
Exactly. It's all, and it's wellness related. It is very rewarding to watch something happen, like somebody has an injury or like a whiplash in a car and they're in a lot of pain and they can barely walk, and we can adjust them and they're walking out with any surgery or medications. Not that there's anything wrong with those. It's just a different way of looking at healthcare.
Yeah.
I mean, what are some of your favorite personal stories that from your years in chiropractic?
Wow. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've been very blessed that we've had a lot of patients through the years. We've seen over 6,000 new patients in 30 years.
Oh my goodness. For a small town.
Yeah. Which that's kind of interesting too. One of the stories, by the way, I wasn't told that I was going to have to tell this, but that's okay. I had a lady that was originally from here, but moved to Hawaii, and she worked there and lived there. And she came back to see her family, and we adjusted her. And, I believe we did some massage therapy on her as well. So she goes back to Hawaii, and every 2 years, she didn't trust anybody in Hawaii. Aww. She said, so she come back and I would adjust her. And we do a massage, but I was her chiropractor and her massage therapist, and she didn't want to see anybody else.
It's so amazing how like so many people are dedicated to you. Yeah. They don't trust anyone else. I personally don't trust anyone else either.
I don't trust anybody but you on the radio. So, you know,
wow. Sorry, Wesley.
Yeah. I just met him.
Especially since like, you have been adjusting me and the boys and mom our entire lives. Of course, well, maybe not mom, but our entire lives. Of course, we don't trust anybody else.
Right.
And like, you know, when you get to that age where like, oh, I can't even reach you. I don't know. It's just going to be so interesting to like find someone else.
Well, that's interesting too, that all four of the children that I adjusted in the hospital right after they were born, constrictions, and everybody asked me that question, what could be wrong with them if they just were born, you know? And so constrictions within the womb can cause misalignments of the spine, and so we checked them out and adjusted them accordingly. Another neat story about her brother, Riley, he's in the Navy right now. He's a graduate of Pendleton Heights High School.
Yes, he is.
He was not part of the womb, but anyway. he was about probably four. And they're playing. And all of a sudden he just goes over and lays down on the couch. I'm like, Riley, buddy, what's wrong? And I don't feel good. And I go over and he is just riddled with fever from his head to his toe. I mean, he is hot.
Oh my goodness.
Could be. So I said, all right, come over here. We have a adjusting table at the house.
Yes.
Doesn't everyone?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And so his little neck was out of place, so we adjusted his neck. And seriously, within seconds, I went back down and I looked at his feet, and his fever started going away. So within about 15 minutes, he was up running with his brothers again. And so he had fallen or something and got his neck out of place and cured the fever. So we've been very fortunate that it's been effective health care for our whole family. Yeah.
Alrighty, so that is unfortunately all the time we have for today. Thank you, Father, for coming in and letting us interview
you're welcome,
you.
Daughter. You're my favorite daughter, you know.
Thank you. I'm your only one, but thank you. Anyways, but yes, Wesley, now you have seen a little bit of Cowan Chiropractic.
Yeah.
And everyone has seen a little bit of the Cowan household. But we're going to head on to the next segment. This is WEEM Weekly.
Now here is a short promotion before our next segment.
Can't make it to the game? Well, don't you fear. The ASN Coaches Show is here. The Arabian Sports Network's Coaches Show talks to coaches and athletes to keep you up to date on all things Arabian athletics.
Welcome here to today's presentation of the ASN Coaches Show.
Listen in from 8 to 9 on Saturday mornings, 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to another segment of 91.7 WEEM Weekly. I'm Logan Romine, and today I'm here with
Braden Falk
and Michael Hooker
and Brooklyn Schuyler.
So I know you guys play football. What position do you play?
I play corner.
Same. I play corner.
So with playing corner, what's your favorite part about that?
Well, you come with a lot of responsibilities. So I think learning how to be responsible with those responsibilities is my favorite part.
What are some of those responsibilities?
Reading the quarterback, your keys, and kind of staying disciplined.
Mm-hmm. I'd say like the physicality at the line with the wide receivers, because a lot of wide receivers on our team and on other teams, they're more focused on not getting touched. So if you can get good hands on with them, I think that says a lot about you as a corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do you play? Like, how often do you play?
I mean, pretty often. It's every other series, really. I mean, you know, you have your offense, and then if offense has a turnover, they score, then you're right back out there on defense. I mean, we have our rotation, with our corners, but you know, it depends on what, our position coach wants.
Mm-hmm. So moving back to like a little bit, like before you started football, what inspired you to start playing football?
My older brother played football, and I kind of wanted to be like him, except he was kind of a lot bigger than I was. So couldn't exactly play the same stuff he did, but a little bit smaller stuff, and that's kind of what inspired me.
I think for me, my dad never played football. I've never really had anyone in my family that played football when they grew up, or like even at the high school level or any capacity. So for me, it was like watching the pros and watching my older cousins, I guess, play it for a couple years, and I just like, you know what, I'm gonna give it a try. So I gave it a try, and I've stuck with it for this long.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anyone like you specifically look up to, like any professional players or anything like that?
I wouldn't say really. No, there's a lot of guys that I watch and try to learn from, but I'm not really trying to learn from them when I'm watching the NFL games. I'm just trying to have fun. And that's about it.
For me, it would have to be a couple of the corners on the Colts. I like the way they play. I like how they play. I like what they stand for, and you know, they don't take anything from anybody, and I like that about them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do either of you plan to like go into professional football?
No, that requires some serious stuff.
Yeah. we are not the right size for a professional. They're about what, 50, 60 pounds?
And they're probably about
bigger.
Close. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So we're not really a size, and I'm not really focused on that. So
okay. So what's your favorite thing about football as a whole?
My favorite thing would be, I don't even know, playing in the games of Friday. They're fun, super energetic. It feels like everybody's there to watch you, even though I know kids are jacking around in the student section or whatever, and you're talking to your friends. Mm-hmm. But it feels like everybody's there for you. So, I mean, it feels super cool. But they're obviously there for the band and stuff like that as well. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like everybody's there for you. That's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd have to say Friday Night Lights. like Braden said, or just like the camaraderie with the team. You know, that everybody jokes with everyone on the team. Obviously, you know, within the team, there's tight-knit groups of friends who've been around each other for years and know a lot about each other. But I think everyone on the team, like, can make jokes with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes football kind of special.
Mm-hmm. What's been your guys' favorite game that you played this year, or actually all, overall?
Mine would be Lebanon. It's the only game I started the season, and it was kind of fun. Not really kind of fun. It was a lot of fun, but it brought out a lot that I didn't see in myself, I guess, really. But it was a lot of fun, and it was a long game. It took forever, but yeah.
It did take a while. I would have to say probably when we went to Newcastle, because, I mean, I don't really count Anderson as my first start because it's Anderson. I count more Newcastle as my first start because that's when we started conference play. We started against a team that loves to throw the ball, and I really got to showcase that my abilities in the coverage wise. Mm-hmm. And that was probably my favorite game because I think I played overall my best game there.
Talking a little bit more about the games, do you guys think that homecoming is like the highlight game of the year for you guys, or are there ones that you're looking forward to more?
It's definitely the highlight game. I mean, there's always a lot of energy when you play a regular home football game. There's a lot of people there, but homecoming, like, all your grandparents are there, and like all the people that used to play are there, and they're watching, and they come for the parade, and they come and visit the game for a few. So it's definitely a lot more packed and a lot more energetic, I'd say. And it's probably the most important game of the season since we're playing Mount Vernon, and it's like a big old rivalry. Mm-hmm. So I'd say so, yeah.
How do you think that the atmosphere changes from a normal game to like a homecoming game? Besides, obviously, the large amounts of people there.
They're more energetic. Like, they want to see you win more, and mm-hmm. I feel like it's embarrassing if you lose and then you go to the homecoming mm-hmm. dance tomorrow. Like, everybody's going to be looking at you, laughing at you, I feel like, but...
Especially if you let up, like, a big play.
Yeah, like, if you're the mistake that loses the game, it's going to be a tough mm-hmm. dance. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's more behind a homecoming game than just a normal game. Well, I'd say it's sectionals homecoming than just a normal game.
Yeah.
Because it's sectionals. It's like you win or you go home.
Yeah, and both those games, you kind of, like, lead up to them. Like, sectionals, obviously, you have all your other games to play and kind of, mm-hmm. I think, kind of build up to. And then homecoming, you obviously have a week of, like, a spirit week and a powder puff game and all these things that kind of a parade mm-hmm. that literally leads up to the game.
Yeah, and I think the biggest part about it is, like, not saying, like, necessarily ignore everything, but you can't get caught up in it because our coaches preach to us, like, we have to stay focused on what we're supposed to do this week. It's Mount Vernon. Yeah, they're 1-4, but, like, they're a good team. They've played really good teams. They just blew out a really good team, too, on their homecoming. So we can't get caught up in all the festivities, and we have to stay focused on what we're there to do, and that's to play a football game, win a football game, and entertain the public.
That's kind of what I was going to say. So thanks for stealing my thunder.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a dress-up day, this is a fun question, by the way. If you had to pick a dress-up day to change or to have this year, what would it be?
Ooh.
You'd have to remind me what the dress-up days are because I don't participate in them.
Favorite person, we had America Day. We had Imagination Day or Disney. I think R was
Rest Day.
Rest Day, so PJs. And then obviously Y is your hometown. You wear green and white. Mm-hmm.
Does it spell out a word?
Fairy.
Yeah,
because that's the theme.
Fairy tales.
Okay, I get it.
Holy cow. What?
I didn't think about that.
I would change A from America Day to anything but a backpack day.
Yeah.
I would like that.
I would have so much fun.
But
with
that's kind of also a thing at the end of the year.
For
so
the
I don't
seniors,
really,
for the ABC count. Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know. I'd like to see it twice. It'd be fun.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm in student council. I can maybe make that happen.
Thank you.
Keep that
we
in mind.
We had one person say a Star Wars day. And then people would start dressing up as, like, Darth Vader and then have, like, lightsaber fights in the hallway. It would be a whole thing. There'd be a robot somehow.
I don't know about
just
that
just
one.
A robot?
That was definitely Keaton that suggested that.
Was it Keaton?
Yeah.
I knew it was Keaton. Keaton is a big Star Wars nerd. So yeah, that's expected. Star running back of Pendleton Heights is a big Star Wars nerd. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Well, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have. Thank you so much for coming out today. Coming up next is, you know who's coming up next?
It is the class sponsors.
Yeah, that's going to be a good, that's going to be a good one. Make sure you check it out. That was right here on WEEM Weekly.
Now here's a short promotion before our next segment.
Support 91.7 WEEM by donating today. Donations to this station help improve the students' learning experiences and opportunities. We appreciate all support from a donation or tuning in, but we can't do it without your support.
Donate today.
For more information, contact Bill Whitehair at 765-778-2161. EXT is 6094 or at bwhitehair@smcsc.com. 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Brady Knox here.
I'm Caitlin Cowan.
And this is Mrs. Plovic.
And I'm Mrs. Unclear.
Okay, so today we're going to be interviewing you guys because you guys are the class sponsor for the freshman class of the class of 2028. So my first question for you guys is, what made you want to be a class sponsor?
Well, we've done it before, and that was just out of necessity and an open position, but we were super excited to do it this year because we both have freshmen in this class. And so we knew what it takes to do this job and we were excited to do it.
Awesome. So how does the student council help you organize some events that you guys have throughout the year?
Well, as far as our freshman year, the main event is the float building, and student council, along with Mrs. Hunkler, who does the parade, they basically give us the parameters and the timelines and what we need to work with. But our freshman year, it's just mostly float building. But they do a lot as far as setting
the
theme. So
that's the only event that the freshmen have to, like, organize and stuff?
I mean, we meet as a steering committee and look at years ahead. But as far as, yes, big school events, the only thing the freshmen do is the homecoming float.
Interesting. I did not know that. So how exactly do the positions work in student council? So, like, does the president get all of the say, or, like, do some of the treasurers help out, or, like, how does that all work?
Well, I'm going to clear something up real quick, because student council is a full school thing, kind of like our U.S. government has the president, the vice president over the entire country, but then each state has a governor and a lieutenant governor. Same within the school. Student council is over the entire school, and there is a student council is a conglomerate of all four grades, and they make the decisions for the school and they do the big planning for all school events. But then within each grade, we have steering committees. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have our class presidents and our four offices, and they can choose to be a part of student council. But again, student council is for that entire school. But then within our own class, we have our steering committee. So, back to your question, which was,
How do the positions exactly work for student council?
Okay. So then, our class president, we do ask a lot of him and put him in charge of a lot of things. He is not the final say, and I do think he's very good about listening. It's mm-hmm. Ryder Garner. And, I think he does a really great job of getting the feel of his entire class and, kind of speaking for them. But I do think we've had votes, and mm-hmm. You know, we're still early in this. I mean, they're only freshmen, but
I've been really impressed with the officers that we mm-hmm. have for this freshman class. I think that they've done a really good job just in the short amount of time that we've worked with them. So I'm looking forward to working with them the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So this probably should have been my first question, but can you explain what a class sponsor is and what they do for the school or the class?
Yeah, so we're kind of like a liaison, I would say, between the school and the class officers. Like Mrs. Hunkler said, we've been here before. We know each year what the responsibilities are. And we're there to help facilitate the meetings. But the class officers have a lot of say in the things that they want to do or address, like if there's fundraisers they want to do. Or, you know, like we just got done, I keep referring to the float, but that's what we just got done doing. But the float theme for that class. And we're just kind of there, I would say, as a I guess we interpret the rules, yes. Tell them, you know, kind of
how.
We
go by what the school rules are, and we sign off. We use our signature because we're the adults. So any funds or anything have to have a signature. And so we're just the adult matter in it. But they are the, mm-hmm. the voices, and they are the decision makers. So.
I see. So specifically, you guys, what do you love the most about being a class sponsor that you've done it for how many years now? So what do you love so much about it?
I think it gives us a chance to see students in a different light. You know, we both teach math, and it gives us a chance to meet different students that we don't normally have in class. And so, and outside of the classroom setting.
My favorite thing, hands down, is watching them grow as freshmen into seniors and then beyond. So my first class that I sponsored was the class of 2010. So I was with them 2007, 8, 9, and 10. And, I'm watching them turn into parents via Facebook and social media, and it just makes my heart so happy because I spent 4 years with these kids building floats and making big decisions, putting on prom, and it was enough happiness to see them grow from freshmen to seniors, but I love seeing them.
So speaking of prom, are you guys very much involved with prom still? Even though this is the like freshman class, are you still involved with prom at all?
Not really at this level. We will next year as sophomores. That's where we'll start the discussions with our steering committee about location and just kind of get the conversation going. It's really their junior year where we hit the ground running and start making a lot of decisions.
Yeah. Interesting. So how exactly does the float process work? So it's the biggest thing of homecoming. It's the main event for the freshmen. So how exactly does it work? How do you start?
So we start when we're given the theme by student council. So this year, student council voted and they gave us the theme of fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And then freshmen have to wait for the seniors, the juniors, and the sophomores to all pick their particular mm-hmm. float themes. And then we picked ours. And then luckily, our students just really took the idea and ran with it. They did a great job. And then we obviously have to find a barn and a trailer. And so the Cunninghams were so gracious and let us kind of take over their barn for a couple weeks. And we just set, that's where Mrs. Hunkler and I set float building times, and the kids come out and build their float.
Wow. Okay. So for being a class sponsor for so many years, what event is like the most exciting? What are you so excited for every single time it comes around?
Graduation.
Yeah, I think I would say so too. I would say so too, because like Mrs. Hunkler said, you look at them and you think, wow, we've been with them for 4 years and here they are getting ready to go out into the real world and start their adult lives.
I took it the wrong way. I thought like, you're ready to see them leave. Oh,
no. Yep. Super pumped. I mean, it's a very gratifying feeling.
It is.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So for my last question for you guys, how often do you guys meet up to discuss certain events for the class?
Well, it depends on what time of year it is. Like obviously pre-homecoming, we do a lot more with our freshman class. We'll back off of that after fall break. But as juniors, we'll meet a whole lot mm-hmm. with prom and concessions and all of that. And then as seniors, we met quite a bit too last year with all the big decisions that seniors make. So,
wow. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in. Unfortunately, our time is up. But yeah, thank you guys for coming in. And now we know more about class sponsors, Brayden.
Yeah. Thank you. All you needed to know.
That's thank right. you for thank your you. Knowledge.
Yes. Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you guys for coming out. Once again, I'm Brayden Oxier. You guys are Mrs. Plovic and Mrs. Hunkler.
Yep.
And I'm Caitlin Cowan. That was myself and Brayden with Mrs. Plovic and Mrs. Hunkler, a.k.a. the class sponsors of the class of 2028. Brooklyn.
Hi.
Hello. So this is going to be uploaded by the time homecoming is over. How was your homecoming?
It was pretty good. I did a lot of radio. I had so much fun at that pep rally that student council hosted. That was so much fun.
When you like interviewed a bunch of people.
Yes, I interviewed a ton of people. We were like running all around that place.
Yeah.
It was insane. There were so many people. I hated how many people were there.
I did too, because it was so loud.
It was so loud. It was so crowded. It was so hard to get interviews because I didn't want to like stand in front of people. Yeah. So I'm like crouched down on the floor and stuff.
I was taking pictures, and that was definitely something I was scared of, like being in people's way.
Blocking
people. And like people would be like, hey, get out of my way. Yeah. But no one did, at least not that I heard of. I think I'm death after that pep rally. My watch went off so many times. Like, you're in a loud environment.
It was
Stop.
So much fun, but it was crazy. And then the day only got more crazy when we had that crazy wind.
Oh, my goodness. Storms. We couldn't take pictures at homecoming, which was so, so sad. Anyways, that's it for this episode, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Wow. Episode 3. So,
In the books.
In the books. It's
that's the old saying.
Right there. That's not a book. That's a table. Anyways, we'll see you guys in the next episode in or 2 weeks. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you for listening to WEEM Weekly Podcast. Join us next time at 917WEEM.org or wherever podcasts can be found.